broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios. It's the Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get him, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr.
I just sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's the Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock!
That's what we call a sack lunch.
They do have a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Landry, LandryFootball.com, all the college news, all the pro info, the podcast. We'll let you know how you can get all of that. Chris, how you doing, sir?
Bill, doing well. And yourself?
I'm doing good. Everybody wants your thoughts on the game Saturday, a few days ago, LSU winning at Alabama, and how impressed you were with LSU.
Well, very impressed. You know, LSU's offense was, again, in tune, finely tuned. Alabama couldn't stop them, say, for a few plays here or there. It was a great performance by Joe Burrow. Made plays with his feet. Obviously did a great job manipulating Alabama's coverages. Alabama didn't play very well at all, and defensively they were exposed. Tackled poorly. Couldn't get any significant pass rush for any sustained period. It was a really, as we kind of thought, it was going to be a game in which the offenses were going to have an advantage. And LSU was, a little, not completely clean, but much better than Alabama. Alabama had more mistakes, more drop balls. It looks like they pressed a little bit more. And that was the difference. I mean, Alabama left plays on the field. You know, Tua was not his complete self because his ability to extend plays or run when maybe there was an opportunity there. I thought there was potentially a touchdown run he could have had in the red zone that he didn't take, obviously, because of his feet. So that, to me, was the difference in the game. Alabama left plays on the field. LSU had a couple of key mistakes defensively that gave up some cheap scores to Alabama. So, look, it wasn't like it was the best played game in terms of there were mistakes. And I would say that both defenses looked very vulnerable, all things considered, but really exciting. You know, it was exciting. I thought early on that Alabama was marched down the field, and I said, here we go. It's going to be, an offensive game, and it was. But you never got the feeling I did that LSU was really threatened. I mean, right. The best Alabama could do was get it into one possession, and LSU would take it to two possession games. So when I studied the tape, it looked like more than a 46-41 victory.
The running back from Baton Rouge Catholic, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, was a 3-star. They list him at 5'8", 215. Now, I know he's not the best prospect on the field, but I thought he was probably as important as anybody in that ballgame.
No doubt about it. I mean, Burrow makes it all go. But,
right.
Helaire is just – the thing about it, the kid is – and it just goes to show you that the kid has worked so hard to get his lower body strong. He is strong in the lower body.
Right.
And if you want to see the explosion, how about the touchdown, the leap? You see the spring in his legs. That's why he has, the ability to juke people and be able to cut, put his foot in the ground and cut in reverse directions. But he's built so low. He's got that leverage with that strength that when he makes contact, he's so tough to get down because you got to get lower than him. It's a leverage game, as you well know, and it's just really hard to get leverage. And, man, it was that last run to basically kind of put the game away. It just was, although Alabama had to came back and scored again, got it into one possession. That was just kind of a big boy run there that said, wow, can you believe they're doing this against Alabama? Alabama's tackling was as poor as I've seen in years, quite frankly.
I think Nick said, and I saw this on Twitter, so obviously it's got to be the gospel, right? But something along the lines of Nick said in a press conference, looking at the tape, they had 25 missed tackles.
I charted it was a couple of dozen missed tackles, yes. I did. I charted that. In fact, you know, there was – when you look at that play alone we're just talking about, there were five on that play. I mean, it's just on him. I mean, he made – In terms of making people miss and then missing a tackle, it was not a very good day defensively for Alabama. And here's the thing. Better teams can expose you. And the concern is you look at how they struggled against Clemson, how they struggled against LSU. Defensively, they've been exposed. They're not the same. They're just not the same defensively. You could see that the talent level, you know, the times in the past where they've been able to replace a great player with another great player, it hadn't quite been as seamless a transition. You know, everybody thinks, well, automatically, you know, you follow recruiting well, so you know most people determine recruiting by reading some list that says, well, they're ranked one or they're ranked five. But if you look at how guys leave or don't stay in the program or guys who don't develop – They don't have the same caliber of player to replace the guys that they've lost. And, you know, that's been the big difference. We know they've had a lot of injuries, but the quality of the player is not as good as it has been. It doesn't mean that it can't be fixed in further recruiting efforts, but that is the reason why they're not as good. And they're so, I think, too, that their emphasis, and I've said this for 2 years, their emphasis on throwing the football makes sense with their receivers and what they want to do in the modern game. But there is no question that it's had a negative effect on their physicality as a team. When you practice that way, then you're not as physical and you can't handle teams that can be as physical and can match up. But their ability to match up in the secondary, which I thought would be very effective this year, it has been exposed a little bit against certain teams. Now, not in the games that they've played thus far this year, but against a really good offense of LSU, they had problems. I mean, defensively, there just wasn't a whole lot of answers that they had Saturday.
I also saw, and I remember actually, was I listening? I know I saw it on Twitter. Either way, I remember thinking, I got to ask Chris this. It was a scout. Maybe it was Daniel Jeremiah. I don't remember. But he said in his years of scouting, covering, this receiving core, and I'm talking about college football in general, going into the draft, is the best core that he can recall. Do you agree with that?
Well, certainly the receiving cores of recent years, it's getting better and better because there are more of them, there are more quality. It's really good. I'd have to go back. I've always felt like it is. I think it depends on how many of them come out. But Alabama's alone is good. The kid from Colorado, Laviska Shenault, has not been healthy this year, but when he is, he's good. You've got CeeDee Lamb, Jalen Reagor of TCU, you know, Higgins of Clemson, you know, if they come out. But then you throw in a guy like Brian Edwards of South Carolina or Colin Johnson of Tennessee, Tyler Johnson of Minnesota. You know, it's a great group. There's no question about it. It's an outstanding group that's deep. It has a lot of quality. And depending upon how many of those juniors come out, we could have a few of them and quite a few in the first round.
Noel Kev says, ask Chris, besides the coordinators, offense, defensive coordinator, what's the third most important position a new head coach could hire?
Well, the most important position that the guy needs to hire when he gets a head coach is a strength coach. That is the most important hire that has to get right. If you don't, that is a whole program issue. But I understand the question. So the on-the-field coaches, because they're dealing with in college with them all year round. So it's really important. And then the most important position coach is your offensive line coach. That is the most important behind the coordinators and then the secondary coach. But in that order, the offensive line coach is the most important.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, he basically is the head coach when the head coach isn't in charge, right? Kind of?
Oh, the strength coach?
Yeah.
No question about it. Yeah, that's why it's so important, in particularly in college. It's the development of players and dealing with the physical skill set and development of that end of it is so important. Attitude, all those things it's really important in college because of the limitations the position coaches have in contact with those players. So that's really the most important. And then the on-the-field coaches, again, it's the offensive line coach is the most important position coach after the coordinator hires.
One more before the break. Danny in New York City. Ask Chris if he thinks Steve Sarkisian has paid his penance. He says you don't hear his name much with any of these head coaching opportunities.
Well, I mean, we all know Steve has had some issues that he's dealt and he's apparently doing great. I don't know that it's a penance issue. Look, I mean, it's different being a coordinator. He's a really good coordinator. What you got to ask is, are you comfortable with him as a head coach? Do you feel that extra stress and pressure would potentially cause problems? No, I think that, it doesn't rule it out. But, no, his name's not usually mentioned. And it's usually the case when a guy has not had success or has had some problems, he usually has a hard time getting back. I think he's done a good job, and I think somebody would consider him. But, that's still a risk. It's a personal risk that you've got to go through in the evaluation process. And that's sometimes difficult to kind of know that part of it, internally as to how is he doing. Because managing that, alcoholism is something that not everybody is familiar with. I certainly wouldn't know how to really gauge whether somebody is through that or not, other than just word of mouth.
Chris, you got a couple minutes on the other side?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, more Chris Landry, and we'll let you know how you can get all his information after the break. Goggin Cold Hall Studios, Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Remain shut down as they continue to work that wreck on 65 northbound here at Long Hollow Pike. What a mess it's been working with this truck crash from earlier this morning. 24 eastbound between the Cheatham County line and White Creek Pike on a crash in Jolton. You got all that traffic coming in from Clarksville. Heavy traffic now down I-40 trying to get past the airport, and there's a wreck 24 eastbound near Murfreesboro Pike exit. That's before you get to 440. If you're in a bind needing cash, Choice Cash has a way to borrow up to $10,000. Call Choice Cash today at 1-800-658-9816. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
My buddy James Warren is with me in studio. Class of 1977, Battleground Academy. He's the owner of Sir Speedy Music City. The name has changed, but let me tell you one thing that hasn't. They do great signage. If you don't believe them, go in and try it, right?
Absolutely, George. We love doing signage. That's a big part of our business. And if it has to do with trade show displays, banners, posters, directional signs, big signs on the side of your business, window decals, graphics, you see us all over town, and we love it.
Well, the bottom line is you want your company to look good. Now, give people phone number, website, that kind of stuff.
You can reach us at 615-832-9511. SirSpeedyMusicCity.com is our website. Print at SirSpeedyMusicCity.com gets you to it.
Bottom line is you want your company to look good. When you go in, tell them Plaz sent you.
Were you scammed into signing a timeshare contract? And did you miss the part that said you have to pay for your great idea? Not only for the rest of your life, but when you're not here anymore, you get to pass this turkey onto your family for them to pay for the rest of their lives. Thanks, Dad. Don't burden your family down the road, and don't be stuck with expensive timeshare payments forever. Get out of your bad idea timeshare contract guaranteed or pay nothing. Call Resort Release today and learn for free how their timeshare exit team can help you legally exit your timeshare contract. They've helped thousands of people, and they're A-plus rated with a BBB. So if you feel scammed, get mad, and get out of your expensive timeshare contract right now, guaranteed. Call NOW.
800-898-0816. 800-898-0816. 800-898-0816. That's 800-898-0816.
Jim Rome is here weekdays 11 to 2 on Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR.
The SEC is for closers, and there's only one way to survive in the SEC, ABC. A, always, B, B, C, closing, always be closing.
A, B, C. A, always, B, B, C, closing, always be closing.
Jim Rome, 11 to 2 on Nashville's original sports radio, WNSR.
Body clock is set to college football and nothing else. It's Bill King.
You're listening to The Bill King Show, the only college football radio show proven to make you smarter.
Chris Landry with us, LandryFootball.com. Chris, your thoughts on the Auburn-Georgia matchup?
Well, I see it as kind of an opposite game of last week, in that it's going to be really dictated by the defenses. These are the two best defenses in the conference. I think the difference is, to me, going into it, Georgia's running game is better. Their offensive line is better, and their quarterback plays better. And they're starting to get more productivity due to health from the receiving corps. So they've got, I think, some ability to make plays in the passing game. You know, Auburn's at home. We've seen them in previous years have big-time moments, and this defense keeps them in every game. So I give them a shot. I do. And Georgia will have to play well, really well. And I don't think that they're the type of team that's going to blow people out unless you make mistakes or give them short fields for the offense. But I think it'll be a really good game, but physical game, defensive-oriented game. But I do favor Georgia in those areas.
Chris, also, a lot of talk about Michigan State coming up. Michigan State is looks to be falling to pieces. A lot of talk about D'Antonio playing out his last few games as the head coach there. What are you hearing?
Yeah, I've mentioned it on the website and in some podcasts that several weeks ago, that I'd be very surprised if he's back. It's been a very, very tough year. You know, he's got some issues coming up in January where he's going to have to testify. I think last year's moves on, you know, on the whole Michigan State, you know, off the field issues, which is going to be a distraction and probably create more publicity if he's still the head coach, coupled with the fact that he was kind of getting close to finishing out his career last offseason. As you know, he's very, very loyal with his assistants. His way to change and fix the offense was to shuffle around the staff and not get rid of anybody. Now there's just obviously a pressure of they've not made the progress offensively. And then last week was just, man, it's one of the biggest comebacks or collapses out of Michigan State. Great comeback for Illinois. And they just made mistake after mistake. They just don't look like a Mark D'Antonio coach team. And the way he's handled things, you know, he's not one that likes to deal with the questions about off the field or his future or things. it just really smells to me like that he's going to step aside. Don't know that, haven't been told that, but I just, my sense is that that's going to be the case.
Thoughts on Baylor, Oklahoma?
I think Oklahoma's quite a bit better, but, you know, Oklahoma's defensively really struggling. What I like about Baylor when I watch him, first of all, there's nothing that stands out about Baylor other than the fact that they're well-coached. They do things fundamentally well. That's why they're unbeaten. It's most people in the Big 12 kind of shoot themselves in the foot. They're up and down. This team is very, very consistent. Oklahoma even, very explosive on offense, blew a big lead against Iowa State, had to hold on. We know about their loss to Kansas State. But, you know, I think that Oklahoma's only chance, and I don't think they really have a playoff chance. They're going to need collapse by people in front of them. But from their standpoint, they need to really make a statement and win big. I thought they'd win big decisively last week. I have a feeling they'll do it this week. But, you know, if they don't play better defense, Baylor will keep it close and have a chance.
Chris, tell everybody how they can get all of your information.
At LandryFootball.com, everything could be found right there. All the podcasts, we break down every conference by conference, a conference podcast for each and every conference, a pro football podcast, a college football podcast nationally, and, of course, all our film breakdowns, part of our membership packages, very affordable. It's $9.99 a month if you want to try it that way. If you want to get the 50% discount, try it for a year, it's $4.99 a month. So it's a great opportunity to kind of get a unique insight into the game, breaking down games going into it, reviewing the games after they're played, college, NFL, all the inside information, all the inside details, this coaching search work that's going on at Arkansas, at Florida State, or any place else that's going to come about. It's a great resource to use if you're a football fan. As we like to say, if you like football, you'll love LandryFootball.com. So we'd love to have you join our family.
Good stuff, Chris. See you next week, sir.
Thank you, Bill.
There you go. Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. Always a wealth of knowledge. Good weekend. Yeah, week 12 coming up. I got to figure out my Friday again. My daughter plays. Now, I could stream those games. My son's in a playoff football game, and we're going to be there. And you've got other games on TV. I got a lot of juggling to do. I haven't even thought it out yet either. I like those days where there's a lot going on, but you really hadn't figured it out. It just kind of happens, you know? It's called going in without a plan. Sometimes that can be a catastrophe, too, if you go in without a plan. You know what happens when you don't have a plan? You have 7 kids. I can tell you about that. That's when you go unplanned. Now, all good. All good. What else is happening out there? What are we missing? What have we skipped over? I tried to get Ole Miss Evie. Ole Miss and LSU playing. She can't do it. I believe she's taping her podcast, but she's not available to do it. Yeah, I tried to get her this morning, but to no avail. Buckeye Brenda was on hold at the top and could not stay on hold. She pulled into work, had to go into work. Said, Bill, just reminiscing about the days on Sirius, you were our morning drive sanity. So glad you're on live in the morning and podcast in the evening. Yeah, we those are good days, man. I Charlie and I have good memories there. These things, I mean, that was 10 years. It's looked upon like it wasn't very long. 10 years at one place is a long time. It really is. In this business, it is. And it was exactly 10 years. Al Equipa Bob has dialed us back. What's up, Bob?
Hey, Bill, how are you?
We are good.
Hey, I'm sorry I jumped off with Chris Landry. I didn't have anything worthy of his, his level of discussion, so to speak. But anyway, just a couple of things, Bill. I missed the show yesterday, so I had to listen to it on replay. So Coach Marshall and I had a conversation yesterday, and I think he might be starting a GoFundMe campaign for James Franklin to get him back to Vanderbilt. So
he tweeted that this morning. Yeah.
Did he really?
Yes.
Well, if he does that, make sure that you give me the link because I'll donate to it.
He's raised $11.58 so far. I checked.
Well, tell him I'll match that for him anyway. And I'm just kidding around. Of course, I do not want to get rid of James Franklin just yet. But we had quite the laugh yesterday about that. So and Kevin Hagan, I heard his comments also. And hey, Kevin, you're the class of the show, man. You and Chris Landry. I mean, your segments are just way over the top. And love your information. Love the way you hit points and you go head on into things. And when you're, you know, things are bad, you tell us, and when they're good, you tell us. So I really love all that. But hey Bill, he got me to thinking, and we kind of had, Kevin and I had a side conversation also, but you know, when Joe Pa left, there was supposedly, and I don't have this confirmed, but there was supposedly a succession plan in place that fell through. And I'm not going to mention names because I can't confirm it. But with Nick leaving, and Joe Pa hung on too long, but after what Nick has done, I mean, I don't think you'll ever see a thing like this again in college football. Does Nick have the right to stay on as long as he wants? Or does it come to a point where the board says to him, Nick, you know, you're slipping, whatever, you got to go? And I just wonder what your thoughts were on that with respect to Joe Pa.
Tell you what, let me do this. This brings back memories of Joe Pa and Bowden and the years that we spent on that same topic. Let me do this, Alec Whipple Bob, bottom of the hour break, and then when we come back, that's where I'll go. I'll get into it.
Okay. Sounds like a plan, Bill.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Appreciate it. No, we need to get into that. I have a very strict philosophy on that topic that I will revisit for you when we come back. Gog and Cold Hall Studios, presented by the wonderful Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. It remains shut down here from that earlier tractor-trailer crash on 65 northbound here at Long Hollow Pike, north of the city. What a mess through there. Also southbound, a lot of rubbernecking still dragging along through Kingston Springs on I-40 eastbound. As you come from Dixon County this morning from that earlier crash, when I say it's dragging along, I mean it's dragging along almost all the way back to 840. That's a big backup. If you're in a bind needing cash, Choice Cash has a new way to borrow up to $10,000. Call Choice Cash today at 1-800-658-9860. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
With the holiday season right around the corner, you're bound to have a lot on your plate. Let Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel take one of those plates from you and put some great food on it. Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel is hosting their Thanksgiving brunch from 9 a.m. till 2 p.m. so you can check one of the many things off of your holiday to-do list, and that's feed people. You can bring those people to Kitchen Notes for the Thanksgiving brunch and let Kitchen Notes worry about feeding your family and friends for you. Serving up all your traditional favorites, Kitchen Notes will have something for everyone. From rosemary turkey at the carving station to the sweet potato casserole. From the roasted lamb to the grand biscuit table. There's even a kids menu. Bring your whole family to Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel for the Thanksgiving brunch from 9 till 2. This holiday season, take something off of your plate and let Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel put something great on a plate for you.
Looking for future leaders we can trust and believe in? Look no further than the high school student athletes right here in Tennessee. High school sports teach young people how to be effective leaders. It begins by making their grades and being on time for practice. It includes learning to listen, following directions, accepting responsibility, being a good role model. And it's about respect for officials, opponents, the rules, and each other. The result? It transcends sports. It gives us hope for the future. High school sports. there's so much more than just a game. This message presented by the Tennessee Secondary School Athletic Association and the Tennessee Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
Penn Station likes to mix it up. Cold subs for lunch, grilled subs for dinner, wraps and salads, fresh cut fries, chocolate chunk cookies. So whether we grill, we fry, or we bake, we like to give you plenty of options. Penn Station, it's all about good taste.
Visit Penn Station East Coast Subs in Hermitage and the two locations in Murfreesboro. This month, try the Founder's Special, the cheesesteak sub with a splash of teriyaki and extra cheese with fresh cut fries and drink at a special price. Penn Station, it's all about good taste.
Happens anywhere in college sports, the Bill King Show will be there to bring you the facts.
I'll get into what Al Equipa Bob was talking about, and then we'll get a call. We had a situation back in the 2000s where we had coaches who had done very good things at their school. There were two of them Hall of Fame careers, Bobby Bowden, Joe Paterno. And they had gotten really old, and they had lost their abilities, period. Now, we can get into the minute reasons, I shouldn't say minute, meticulous reasons why this happened, but it's not necessary for me to carry on here. We all know. And they could not get them. Got to remember, the president and the AD went to Joe Paterno's house, which is right there by campus, and said, it's about time. And he said, get off my lawn. Literally. And they got off his lawn. They couldn't get rid of it. And he'd gotten old and his meaningfulness. Now, again, I'm not talking about the off-the-field thing. That is certainly huge. Yeah, I'm not diminishing that, but that's not the point of this conversation here. I'm talking about the on-the-field. He'd gotten old and his effectiveness was no longer. Same with Bobby Bowden. They could not get Bobby Bowden. He tried to hang on to the bitter end, and both of these guys won natties. They accomplished phenomenal things on the field. Hall of Fame careers. And the same, I don't put Mack Brown in their category, but the same with Mack Brown at Texas. Got to remember, it was all they could do. They could not get rid of him. And the point is, and back to Al Equipa Bob, can a coach like Nick Saban, who's better than all of those, okay? Those are Hall of Famers. He's better than them. Does he and is he allowed to just stay however long he wants, even if he's not effective anymore? And the answer is no. I hear former players all the time, which I could not disagree with them more, say, well, coach at my school has earned the right to leave whenever he wants. The hell you did. You don't ever have the right to control your destiny if you are no longer effective in what you do. I don't understand that line of thinking. I reject it. I totally disagree with it. I don't care if you're Nick Saban. If Nick Saban gets to the point in Alabama where he's not winning anymore, he obviously is getting old. He's not effective. He can't just sit there and watch the thing rot, sit there in the office forever. And you know what Nick has said, and I hope he's true to this. He has said, if I ever get to that point, I don't want to get to that point. Because I'll be smart enough to get out. I believe him, but a lot of these guys think they'll be strong enough to get out, and then when it's time, they don't want to because they realize this is my life. This football program is my life. It's my lifeblood. It's in my veins, and they don't want to give it up. And I get that human part of it. Okay, I get it. But it still doesn't give you the right to just hang on. Literally, when you're about to jump in the casket. You just, I'm sorry, I'm being harsh here, but it's true. It's true. You do not ever have the right as a coach, just because you won a ton prior, to sit there when you're no longer effective and just be part of the rot. No, you do not. Nobody does. So, no. And I look, for now, I agree with, I believe Nick. I don't think if it ever got to the point where Alabama just isn't what they were when Nick was at his Hall of Fame peak, and now they're starting to go 8-4, 9-3, players aren't developing, there's character issues, there's discipline issues, his hires aren't going well, recruiting's getting tough because he's old, I think he would step aside. I do. I do. Now we'll see. But again, is there anybody more addicted to football than Nick? It is his life. Nick is not looking to someday just play golf every day or get on his boat on the lake or sit there at the lake house and watch the geese. No, football is his oxygen. I'm not saying it'll be easy. Let me get a call. Wayman, who went in for back surgery, got home, and Wayman, how you doing?
I'm doing fairly well, Bill. How about yourself?
Did you get home in time for the LSU-Alabama game?
No.
You didn't?
I didn't get home until yesterday.
Oh. Now, how did you consume that game? Was it on the TV where you were, at the rehab place?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. I kind of, pursued it just like everybody else. I figured after Tua fumbled that ball on the 8-yard line, I figured it was going to be a long day for Alabama.
Yeah,
he would run away from that.
Yeah, opening drive, and Alabama's moving the ball. Looks like they're going to score. Tua, under no duress, running, has the ball in his non-dominant hand, which is his right hand, and he just, out of thin air, fumbles. And, yeah that was a little bit awkward there.
Yeah. But other than that, they played okay in the second half. The first half was just a disaster, really. Down 20 points at halftime, it's just hard to come back from.
I actually turned on the radio at halftime, and it was John Parker Wilson is now the color analyst on the broadcast radio for Alabama, University of Alabama, and it was 33-13, right at halftime, and he was just talking about how they were getting dominated, which you never Clemson game, but you never hear many of those Alabama broadcasts like that. I knew Alabama would make a run at them. My pessimism was they're going to make a run. They're going to score a bunch of points, but I don't think that even if they do get things rolling offensively, they're not going to be able to slow down LSU, and that's what happened. They couldn't stop them.
Right. That's right. Yeah. I thought LSU might have been had some easy games up until that Auburn game, but after that Auburn game, I said, we're going to be in trouble.
Yeah, and Nick, again, I think we're about to revisit once we get past the season, once we get on into December. I think he's going to have to revisit some coaches again. This is becoming a bit of a carousel, but he's made some mistakes again. Elevating Pete Golding to the coordinator defensively was not a good idea. I don't know if people don't want to work for him anymore or what's going on, but he's starting to make more mistakes in that category.
Yeah, I agree. I want to let everybody know that Aliquish and Bob called me twice in the hospital, and I really appreciate that. He's sounded like a good dude, and you know, he didn't have to take his time out of his day to do that, but he did, and I really appreciate it, Bob.
Good stuff there, Wayman. Stay in touch, sir.
Yeah. Yes, sir. See you.
Appreciate it. Yeah, Wayman had to go in for some back work, and after that, they sent him to rehab, and we were talking, a little over a week ago. Are we going to be able to get him home for the Alabama LSU? He lives down in Georgia. Or could he watch it at the rehab place? He got to watch it. Now, when I say watch, Wayman is blind. So I think he has it on TV, but he listens to it. He's legally blind. Do we have time to take a call here, Charlie? Okay. Peabody, what's up?
Hey, Mr. King, how are you, sir?
Morning, sir.
All right. A couple of things is who's the player for Ohio State that had some issues with taking money and had been suspended indefinitely?
Chase Young.
Can you believe he's been cleared for the Penn State game?
they docked him the Maryland and Rutgers games, but for the Nittany Lions, he's all ready to go. That's yes. Yep.
Good night. What are we going to do with college football? The other concern I have is I want to make sure I don't miss the Crazy Charlie 30-30. When is that program for? Because I'm going to get my DVR ready.
The 30 for well, he has his own 30 for 30 audio drop that we play, but a real 30 for 30 on ESPN? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, I think he's got one coming up. I'm going to make sure I get that. Make sure you advertise that.
I will.
I've got to get the DVR ready because I cannot miss that.
I will.
And the other thing, Bill, I don't mean to interrupt you, but it is amazing to me that Alabama stays within reach of the college playoff flipped four by the committee that nobody's ever heard of or met. It's amazing to me that they're there because they play two games a year, and they just played one of them at home, and they got utterly whooped. And it looks like if they beat Auburn, that they're going to be in the top four. I just don't get it.
You know what? I caught, and Peabody, appreciate the call, man.
Yeah, bud.
I caught a lot of heat yesterday. Well, I caught heat yesterday for two different things, actually. Coming in all directions. Number one, I think Alabama's the top four team. I had to have them in the four slot. I caught a lot of brushback on that. Oh, people were indignant. And then when I went on the Arkansas station and said they're no longer an attractive brand, I caught heat from that angle, too. I think Alabama, with all their faults and failures, well, I shouldn't say failures, but all their imperfections would be the proper term. I still think they're a top four team. Now, here's what I don't think about Alabama. I don't think they're good enough to win a natty right now. I don't think defensively. I don't think they hold up against Ohio State, Clemson. I think they hold up against LSU. But I don't think they could hold up against Ohio State or Clemson right now. I would take those two over Alabama. Alabama's not balanced enough. Alabama offensively can match with anybody. But defensively, they're not very good, not by their standards. Clemson's way more stabilized defensively, and so is Ohio State than Alabama right now. So even though I think they're a top four team, and I'd have them, if I'm the committee, if it's me, just me, I would have them in the four slot. I would. But I don't think they can win the natty. I don't see them beating those teams. No. Not Clemson. I think they could beat LSU. If they matched up with them again, they could beat them. Now, and LSU could beat them. They just proved it. I think that's doable, though. I don't think they beat Ohio State or Clemson right now. I just don't see it. Okay, one more break. Coming right back. More calls. Goggin Cold Hall Studios, Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. They just now opened up a couple of lanes of traffic here, finally, on 65 northbound here at Long Hollow Pike, where it's been closed for quite some time. Again, two lanes here are open on 65 northbound here at Long Hollow Pike from that early morning truck crash. Still limping along up through Kingston Springs on 40 eastbound because of that earlier wreck, slowing you down as you come in from Dixon County, 24 east near Shelby. That's an accident with injuries. If you're in a bind needing cash, Choice Cash has a way for you to borrow up to $10,000. call Choice Cash now, 1-800-658-9816.
Are you looking for the ideal destination for family fun? A place which combines the best of bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers is the answer. Experience a great time with family, friends, and co-workers at Strike and Spare Family Entertainment. With 5 centers in Middle Tennessee, there's a location near you. Book your next party or event, from birthday parties to family reunions. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers is also great for fundraising events and company parties as well. For more information, go online to strikeandsparebowling.com. Visit their locations in Donaldson Plaza, Murfreesboro, and the Tusculum area, as well as enjoying enhanced fun in Hendersonville and Hermitage, including bumper cars, Time Freak, and a laser maze. Hendersonville also has laser tag, roller skating, and an indoor bungee trampoline. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers. In a world of corporate giants, it's nice to know there's a locally owned full-service pharmacy here to take care of you and your entire family. Harding Pharmacy is dedicated to meeting their customers' needs with the highest level of service. Have your prescriptions transferred or your next one filled at Harding Pharmacy, where they also offer free delivery. Harding Pharmacy, your fast and friendly family pharmacy, is easy to find at 4120 Nolensville Pike, just south of Harding Place, next to the post office.
What you read?
It's called The Ledger. There's a great column on the Titans.
So it's a sports publication?
No, not just sports. Like, see here, there's a great cover story on why Middle Tennessee's real estate market is so hot. The Ledger has stories written by some of Nashville's best, most experienced journalists. And you can get all the information on the Mid-State's fast-growing restaurant scene. There's profiles of community leaders and data that helps generate leads for my business.
And sports?
Yes, including UT coverage from Knoxville.
Expensive?
Is free expensive?
Free, huh?
Yeah, grab you one at hundreds of locations and tnledger.com. It's The Ledger. Pick one up today.
Forecast. Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Sky Scan forecast. Mostly sunny for this morning. Your high this afternoon, 50. Overnight, cloudy with a low of 27 and sunny on Friday with a high of 48, a high of 51 on Saturday. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Lori.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Bill King is the king of college football, and his sample size is large. Just ask him.
All right, we got plenty of long-form extemporaneous hangout time. Rest of this hour and hour number three. Hey, tomorrow, Southern Steak and Oyster will be there. Come on by. About a block away from the Omni. Jim and Jupiter. What's up, Jim?
Hey, Bill. How you doing?
I am well, sir. Appreciate it.
Well, I just got to tell you that these, your listeners and callers and fans are just the best. I mean, that story that Wayman just said about Bob from Aliquippa calling him, yeah. I mean, that just shows you that there are really good people in this world, you know. And I met Bob at Commitments last year, and I can say that does not surprise me whatsoever, you know. And, like, another story is that I've become friends with Alan. You know, I didn't know Alan. And obviously you can tell by his bus. Alan's a man of many, he's got the means, he's got it. And, Alan has graciously offered me tickets to the club level, which is the really nice area, many times up in a box. I mean, the people on this show are just amazing. And I want to thank Alan on air. You were an amazing friend. You're a great Noel. You know, and you have the best listeners, seriously, it warms my heart to think about how we have just become a family on this show, you know?
No, I appreciate that. Yeah, a lot of people have connected up by virtue of the show, and that warms my heart. I like hearing that.
Yeah, it really does, and it goes back to the serious days, you know? I mean, I met up with a bunch of people back then, you know, and so it's great. But I wanted to talk about Bill, I agree with you so much, but you're so wrong about this Alabama thing. I really think that you're looking at Alabama through what they were and what they're not. And I'm no Alabama hater. I mean, one of my good buddies is on the Alabama staff, and I want him to be the next AD at Florida State. Kevin knows that. I've talked to you about that. I have no hate for Alabama. I actually, I like Alabama. But this year's team, they just haven't shown it. And for them to be where they are, it's gotten to where Alabama can lose, and no matter what, they're always going to be there, no matter what they put out on the field. And this year's Alabama team, they don't have the resume. They haven't played anybody. And when they played somebody, now granted, it's a great team, they never led. They never, even though it was close, it's just you knew that LSU had that game, which was shocking to me. I thought Alabama was going to, blow them out. You give Saban 2 weeks, I don't care how many weeks Coach O had. But it's not there this year. I don't think that they should be anywhere close to the playoff, and I think it should take complete, craziness for them to get in it. But that's not the case, and that's what we've made in this system. And I'm not one of them. I'm like you. I don't want a playoff. I don't want it expanded. But the reason why it will be expanded is because of this kind of BS where Alabama just, it doesn't matter. They're in it no matter what, And I don't like that. Another thing that I'd like to tell you is that I don't know about this Big Game Bob deal. I'm skeptical too, but I will tell you that the big money is making a run at somebody. And I don't know if that's going to be a big name like him or whatever, but that $200 million gift, that is a real deal. This isn't just a thing that's floated. I mean, I know people that are very high up, and we just got a big one, $200 million. And, we're going to get somebody that's good. And is it Bob? I don't know. I mean, I'm very skeptical too. But, it's going to be somebody. And FSU, we are in the ACC. That is our biggest problem when it comes to funding. We're $20 million down a year. But we're not as poor as many think. When we have to get the money, we get it. We bought out Willie. No one said we could do it. No one says that we could, that we're going to build the standalone stadium, that we're going to be able to hire a coach. We'll be able to do it. I mean, a few years ago, we had the sixth highest ranked paying coaching group. So we pay. It's not going to be top dollar, but you know what it's going to bring you? It's going to bring you championships. So that's all I got for you. But I love you all. I thank you, Alan, and man, Bob, that's just amazing what you did for Wayman. You guys take care.
Jim in Jupiter. If you're on, I believe JB's on hold. Can you hang through? We're really tight here at the top, and I like you to have your breathing room when we get you on. So JB, if you want to hang tight, please do. And on the other side, I'll get to you. Yeah, I've got a lot of pushback on the Alabama thing. Now, no, they're not as good as they were. I agree with that. I still think they're top four good, though. I do. Would I have Oregon, Utah, Baylor ahead of them? Hell no. Absolutely not. Would I have Oklahoma ahead of them? It'd be a shootout, but no, I wouldn't. Now, you want to argue Georgia? I think Georgia, but see, here's the problem. Georgia and Alabama are somewhat opposite in that Alabama's superpower is their offense. Defensively, not so much. Georgia, defensively, is where their strength is. Offensively, they've got their limitations, but because of the passing game and specifically the receivers. So, and it's youth. I'm not saying they won't be good, but they're not yet there, particularly if Lawrence Cager isn't right. So it's kind of an easy juxtaposition there. Yeah, I think Georgia is a legitimate argument. The problem with Georgia is no way they lose that South Carolina game. I don't know. I guess you line it up, maybe something weird can happen, but that makes no sense, that game right there. Georgia is player for player much better than South Carolina. But things happen, man. Kansas State beat Oklahoma. That happened. Yeah. Absolutely. Things can go down, man, that make no sense. Make no sense at all. Anyways, all right. Hour three coming up. We'll get some calls. Plenty of time to stretch out and opine in hour three. Omni.